Using an Apple II is very easy. The only hard part is getting your kid away from it. You see, Apples are the leading computers in schools, so even though you bought it to help you work at home, your kid will want to use it for his own homework. Of course, if all else fails, there's one last thing you can try. Get him an Apple of his own.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, joined today by my platonic partner, the Mr. Buster. Hi, Buster.
Hello.
Emphasis, platonic. And I'm thrilled to welcome back to the show after far too long. You know him as With Hearts on Instagram. His name is Corey Stodiger. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome back to the show.
I know, it's been a while.
It's been way too long. For those of you who have listened for a long time, we had Corey on, you said a year ago, Corey.
I think March or something like that, last year.
Corey is one of Instagram's most prolific photographers. I refer to you as the Prince of Instagram. Is that taking it too far? And also, just one of the most nice guys that you're going to meet. So I'm thrilled to have you back. Welcome back, Corey.
Thanks, man.
We're going to be talking about how you can improve your Instagram photos. Because if you haven't seen Corey's, I encourage you to check him out on Instagram, With Hearts. You have a very defined aesthetic now. And your pictures have a very unique you aspect to them. And I'd like to find out what software you're using and what editing techniques you're using to kind of get that look. And there's so many great new photography editing apps that have come out since we last spoke. I'm excited to hear what you're using these days. We've also got a lot of great Apple news to cover. But before we hop into all the good stuff, I want to thank our sponsors, Smile Software, for supporting this episode. If you haven't tried Text Expander from Smile Software, you are missing out on one of the most useful applications/utilities available for Mac and iOS. That's because Text Expander saves you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations into frequently used text, pictures, blocks of code, and more. Try it out for free. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, you need to check out Squarespace. Buster and I are setting up a Squarespace website. We're sitting on a gold mine. We're going to tell you about our product coming up. It's going to sell like gangbusters. And we're using Squarespace to set up our e-commerce website because they make it easy to create a professional website, portfolio, online store. Anything that you need on the web, Squarespace is going to help you build it easily, all without any code. Head on over to squarespace.com and sign up for a free trial. And if you like what you see, use code CULTCAST at checkout, and you'll save 10% off any order. Thank you, Squarespace, for supporting. Buster, I'm going to talk about the FCC for just a minute.
Oh, God, another FCC rant.
I'm going to do my best to keep this under 30 seconds. This is just a PSA, just a public service announcement for those of you that live in the U.S., because you guys know how angry I get about when we all get screwed about internet stuff. So the FCC is actually trying to do something useful, and they want to make it so that states that have laws that ban municipal internet, they want to overturn those laws so that cities can create their own internet infrastructure, because usually when they do that, it's very fast, it's very inexpensive. Representative Marsha Blackburn, mm-hmm. Republican, Tennessee, not that that matters, is trying to make it harder for cities to do this. They think that cities shouldn't have the right to create their own internet broadband services, which I think is just crazy, and you should too, because this is going to be the only way we get out under the claw of Comcast, who is so bad now, and their customer service is so bad that they're just not even letting people cancel their internet service, as you probably heard on that call with Ryan Block 3 or 4 weeks ago. By the way, that call has went so viral, Buster. Do you ever watch, what's that show with Bill Maher, Real Time with Bill Maher? Have you ever seen that show? It's an HBO show, super popular. Even he was talking about that phone call.
Oh, really?
On one of his recent episodes, and even he was making fun of Comcast, so I'm in good company. Anyway, not really any discussion to have or to be had over that, but I thought I would just put it out there. If you want to tweet Marsha Blackburn, she is on Twitter. And let
her
know
is
that,
she?
Yeah,
so we can say,
is.
Stop it.
So you can tell her how disgusted you are that she's trying to make it impossible for cities to create a fair and inexpensive internet network. Okay, enough with that. Let's talk about the podcasts app, Buster.
Overcast?
I wasn't going to talk about that one.
Marco Arment?
Are you reviewing that one?
I haven't used it yet, but
I know Alex was reviewing it.
Apple made like another podcast purchase, though?
Yeah, they did. So I thought this was pretty cool, especially because everyone listening to this show is probably into podcasts. Apparently, Apple has purchased a company called Swell, which took kind of a Pandora approach to playing podcasts. In that, if you were listening to a podcast like this one, the app would recommend other podcasts that were probably similar. So things that included, you know, guests and hosts that were extremely attractive, made lots of great jokes that everyone always laughed at, maybe covered Apple topics, so on and so forth. So this could be good for the podcast app in the future because I don't really have a lot of problems with podcasts, but I know a lot of our listeners really despise it.
And so they bought that app and they've already shut it down, though.
That's taken off the app store. Yeah, it's gone already.
You couldn't even enjoy it, huh?
No, that kind of sucks, doesn't it? Because
I have no idea how they're going to use it. But that could be interesting. I wonder if they're looking to make a bigger push with podcasts in the future.
I sure hope so. And it would be cool if people were listening to other shows that talked about Apple and maybe saw ours come up. Or vice versa.
I mean, I feel like we say that Apple's going to really make a push for podcasts like every year, though. And it doesn't.
They are, step by step, slowly but surely, they are. Eventually, we will be the primary medium of entertainment.
Oh.
I really believe that could potentially may happen. Corey, do you listen to any podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to a bunch.
What's your favorite, like, one or two right now?
I like Accidental Tech Podcast.
Accidental Tech, I've heard of that one. Who's on it?
That's Marco Arment, John Syracusa, and this guy named Casey. And
Casey, they just, who like, has no last name, yeah.
Yeah, Casey List or whatever. It's basically two guys, and then they forget about the other guy. And yeah, it's because they're both like did podcasts before, like Hypercritical. Mm-hmm. And it's a good podcast. And I listen to The Talk Show, John Gruber.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And Back to Work with Merlin Mann.
Oh, you listen to quite a few related podcasts. That's great. Do you ever try to sneak this one in here and there?
I'm up to date with this one.
Oh, you are.
This one first.
You're like, I wish I had listened to it before I decided to come on. But
I've been listening to it since.
No, I know that's true because sometimes you make comments on things that we talk about. So you're backing it up. I've been listening to a lot of Bill Maher's podcast, actually. It's an HBO show, but they release it every, I think, like a week late or maybe 2 weeks late, Real Time with Bill Maher. I don't know if you guys have ever watched his stand-up or have watched his show or listened to his podcast. He's really funny. I mean, he's super hyper-liberal, which sometimes can be a little bit annoying, but his show is really, really great.
Bill Maher from HBO?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some of the stuff that he's able to say on his show is just kind of shocking that he can get away with it. And he says it in such a charming way. It's not nearly as offensive as it probably otherwise would be.
Uh-huh.
You guys know he had a show called... He used to have a show called Politically Incorrect.
Yeah. And yeah.
I forget what he did, but he said something that was so offensive, they ended up canceling the show.
Really? On HBO?
I think it was HBO. Yeah. Oh. Tap the chest a couple times.
Sorry.
That's right. Burrito, I know. Burrito's not sitting well. Let's talk about some unlocking news. I wish Alex was here because I know how much he loves talking about iPhone unlocking since he's so into it. He even went to an unlocking, what was it, like an unlocking con in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Some months ago. Unlock con. Apparently, there's some new legislation that has passed the House of Representatives, and I believe was previously also passed by the Senate.
Yeah.
what's that?
And Obama said he's going to pass it too. Like, everybody's like right on board with
getting. Now, did he say he was going to pass? Like, it came to his desk and he's like, pass?
Yeah.
Or is he actually going to sign it?
I think he's going to sign it, but okay. He could just, you know, rubber stamp it too.
So what this bill would allow you to do, if you didn't know that you couldn't already do this legally, is unlock your phone. So in the U.S., this is probably crazy to our European listeners that we have to pass a law to allow this, but it's illegal to unlock your phone here. So if you buy an iPhone from AT&T, you can't legally unlock it and take it to another carrier. I don't know what they would do if they found out you did it. I mean,
dude, 7 years in jail, man.
Can you honestly go to jail for unlocking your phone?
I don't know, but I think probably face a penalty fee or something like that.
They'd probably charge you some ridiculous fee.
Yeah.
But the crappy part about this legislation is it doesn't actually really let you do anything special. You still can't legally unlock your phone when you're in the middle of your contract.
Yeah.
You have to wait till your contract's over. What?
That's true. It's still sucky, but it's a small step in the right direction. It's better than being completely banned and like you have an out of contract phone that's done and you can't even take it off AT&T anymore.
It seems dumb, doesn't it, that if you are off your contract that you wouldn't be able to unlock your phone. You paid for the device. Like, why would that make any difference to the carrier at all? Or how could that possibly be logically illegal? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Right.
And unfortunately, this isn't going to help you if you're on your contract. As I mentioned, you're still not going to be able to unlock and take your phone anywhere legally, lest you end up in the state penitentiary with a guy who looks like Buster, but is much larger, has way more tattoos, and is looking for a girlfriend.
Or boyfriend.
Or boyfriend.
Never works.
Yeah. Whichever role-playing he's into that day. Let's see here. Along the lines of getting screwed, Corey, what carrier are you on?
I'm on AT&T.
Okay, so this isn't going to affect you. Buster, are you also on AT&T?
Yeah, I'm on AT&T, unlimited plan.
You got the unlimited, huh? Corey, do you have the unlimited plan?
No, I have the 10 gig shared.
That's what I have.
Family thing.
That's what I have too. Yeah. So you and I are probably going to be cool, but Verizon has announced that they're going to be throttling customers on their unlimited plans this fall. So currently, they're only throttling people who go over on 3G data usage, which I had no idea. That seems kind of weird that they wouldn't do LTE. But now the policy is also going to apply to LTE users. So if you go over your unlimited allotment, what is it these days, like 2 or 3 gigs? Anyone know?
I have no idea.
It's pretty
what it
low
is.
I mean,
yeah, it's probably like 3 gigs or 2 gigs, and then they're gonna start pumping the brakes on you.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna start pumping the brakes so that you get slowed down probably to 3G speeds would be my guess.
Or worse.
You're going to be on edge where it's going to take you 10 seconds to send a text message. So if you're on Verizon, beginning October 1st, according to GigaOM, who's reporting this, in crowded areas like cities, major cities, Verizon is going to also start prioritizing customers on tiered plans so they get priority access to data.
That's stupid.
I can't believe you still got your unlimited plan.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, I've been holding on to it. You know, but they're making it kind of like worthless now to where you're going to want to jump off of your unlimited plan and get onto a 10 gigabyte plan, which
yeah.
I think that's BS.
I'm no advocate of the tiered plans, but I got to say, Corey, you used to have an unlimited plan as well, right?
Yeah, I did. And then I wanted to upgrade or something. I had to change it early or something. And I had another friend that had it, and they were getting throttled like crazy from AT&T during the time. So I just upgraded or went to the biggest plan.
That's what I did too. And I really wanted to tether. So I wanted to be able to connect my iPad, which doesn't have a cellular antenna, to my iPhone, you know, so I could like use the internet and stuff like when I'm on the bus.
Is that free with it?
Yeah, they include that for free, which is one of the big benefits, which isn't their benefit, of course, because they want you to chew through your data as fast as possible. So they give you access to that. And then I know before AT&T was not allowing people to use FaceTime and stuff unless they were on one of their tiered plans. I don't know if they still do that, though. You can use FaceTime, right, Buster?
Yeah, I use FaceTime all the time.
Over the cell network?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, like, so FaceTime, they must have gotten rid of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really sucks. They're trying to push everyone towards their tiered plans. This feels like the 90s when everyone was using like Prodigy internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to pay per minute or pay for like an hour of internet at a time. And it's like we all had these like really ridiculous tiered plans that where we were charged and metered and stuff. We got away from that. And now all of a sudden we're going back to that. It's insane that we're headed back that direction. And all these carriers are just kind of like changing all their feature sets to make people switch. I wonder if people in Europe have it a lot better than us.
Oh, I've heard that the plans, it's way cheaper in Europe.
I've heard that too, but then some of our European listeners have told me that they're kind of in the same boat as we are. Some of
them
depend on the country. I know when I was in Austria, they had a plan that was like $30 a month and included unlimited data and unlimited everything, in fact. Plus, they had free roaming in like 10 or 15 countries. Of course, Austria also has it so that it's legal to download torrents.
Mm-hmm.
So like movies and stuff, music and stuff, it's illegal or it's legal to download that stuff. At least it was when I was there. As long as you're not also uploading it.
Okay. So, I can do that.
So just change your ratio.
Just don't share. Yeah.
Yeah. So just change your upload ratio to zero and don't upload anything, which I feel is like how most torrenters work anyway.
Yep.
All they want to do is just freaking, download. So if you do that in Austria, then you're totally legit. Oh, Alex is complaining on Twitter right now that he's not on. We invited him on. What the heck?
Yeah, he ditched work for like 3 days to go hang out with some other people. So F him.
Oh, really? Yeah, screw that guy. Alex, yeah, if you're listening right now, yeah,
come on,
yeah, bring it.
He See? Wasn't on last time.
He wasn't.
No, I think it was Buster and me and you.
That's funny because Alex, I think, complained last time that we had you on and he wasn't on.
Totally did.
But, yeah, he wasn't on last time too.
Not getting on.
Which is funny because we invited him on and he made the choice not to join us. He's probably doing something totally boring too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, still lots of great Apple news to talk about upcoming. I want to talk about your interview with that Mextures guy, Buster.
Okay.
So there's this developer who released this really good, as far as I've heard, a photo editing app called Mextures. And he has a really interesting story that I saw you posted about, Buster. And last week we kind of did that funny segment at the end, sexy beard chat with Buster Hind. And you actually met up with this guy who also has a sexy beard and talked to him about how he created the app, right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's definitely talk about that. We've also got some more Apple rumors and stories coming up. But before we head on over that direction, let me just go ahead and say, if you're not using Text Expander by Smile Software, you're missing out. You're typing things over and over again. You're wasting your time. If you're a business, you're wasting dollars. And I was telling a friend of mine about Text Expander recently. He's got people doing customer service for him. So they're answering a lot of emails. And, you know, when you do that kind of work, you're constantly retyping the same things over and over again. And what's great about Text Expander is they were able to create a bunch of little snippets of text, you know, like block stuff that they have to answer a lot that doesn't really require a lot of thought. And they were able to create these little blocks of text. So that way, when they're replying back to people about different email inquiries, they can answer much faster because they just type a short abbreviation that you choose. You can make the abbreviation short or long, whatever you want. And Text Expander will take that little abbreviation of text and transform it instantaneously into whatever block of text that you've defined for that abbreviation. It also works with pictures. It works with animated GIFs, which I love. It also works with code. Corey, you're a coder, right? You do some code here and there, don't you?
No.
Can you just make it? Just be like, yeah, I do all the time.
I'm like Node.js all day long, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're expert. Not only are you prolific Instagrammer, but you code quite often. So this would be good for you in your imaginary coding business. Because your developers or whatever project you're working on, it's going to save you time or them time because you get to reuse the same bits of code over and over, which saves you time. And it also makes it so that your wrists don't get burned out. But also, it makes it easy to not make mistakes because once you kind of get a block of text tuned, it doesn't change. You can just reuse it over and over again. Anyway, I love Text Expander. I use it every single day. And I've said before, it's one of the first apps I install when I set up a new Mac because I just think it's so useful. Check it out yourself. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Download it. Give it a try. It comes with a bunch of built-in snippets ready to use right away. So you'll be saving time in no time. I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. Okay, let's talk about Mextures, shall we, Buster?
Mextures.
Kind of an interesting name. When you were talking about it before, I didn't know what you were talking about. And I downloaded the app, and I just kind of played around with it. But so far, I really like what I'm seeing. This app was created by this guy who wasn't even a developer. His name's Merrick Davis. And how long did it take him, Buster? And then what happened after he released the app?
I guess total, how long did it take him? Quite a while. I mean, he like released like these digital texture packs that you can use with other apps to like give your photos like that grainy effect or make them look all grungy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it took him like 3 months, like from when he really just came up with the idea and like the UI to like find a developer and then build it all out for like his first build. So it took him like not that long at all to get everything put together.
But I was reading, so you wrote about this on Cultimac, and I couldn't believe, he said he went through like 18 or 19 different developers.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who doesn't know how to code, and so like finding the developer that didn't want to screw him over was kind of the hardest part. He said like some would like tell him like it would cost him, you know, like six figures just to like, build like one blending mode.
Yeah, you know? I read that he said that it was going to cost, one developer quoted him $90,000 just for one of the modes.
Yeah, and he's like, dude, it could have screwed me over because Apple actually has all that stuff built into the iOS 7, iOS 8 SDKs. So
wow.
You know, finding somebody who actually knew what they were doing, I guess, is part of the biggest problem.
He doing before Mextures? Because
it's kind of funny. He was making, his family owns like scrapbook.com.
So he's pretty, he's got some cash laying around.
Yeah. So it's not like he was just some, you know, bearded homeless guy who made like a top photo app.
He definitely is bearded, has a sexy beard just like you, but he doesn't look homeless at all. He looks like he's very well kept. Corey, have you used Mextures?
I played around with it a little bit. I don't use the textures a lot in my photos, but yeah, I've seen it. It's good for that, for sure.
Is that mainly what it's used for, is just including textures in your photos, Buster?
Yeah, like textures and light leaks mostly.
Okay, so the light leaks interest me for sure. And it's one of the top paid apps on iTunes right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like right now it's like a top 10 app. And like its defining characteristic is that it lets you, you know, make all these edits to like with textures and light leaks and stuff like that without in like a non-destructive workflow. So like you can go back six steps and just take something out without it screwing up your whole editing process.
And there are no other apps that you know of that do that particular thing?
I'm not sure. Corey probably knows way better than I do.
Corey,
there's a couple, like Afterlight. I think they're number 3 on the paid charts. Mm-hmm. They do it. They have it, but it's not their main focus. I think Mextures is just focused on that and like really good at that. So
that's kind of their secret sauce, is the fact that they do it non-destructively, which means, because you know, like Instagram, you apply a filter, it's baked in forever.
Yeah.
So they let you, or the app lets you go in and take those things out if you'd like.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
So it's and pretty nice UI for that.
I think what's incredible is the fact that this guy decided that he was going to create an app and went through 19 or plus developers or however many he said, and actually released this app. And now, did he say how much revenue this thing's generating?
He didn't tell me how much he's made, but it's been enough to where he can quit his daytime job and bring the developer that helped him make it full-time onto his Mextures business.
Well, you got to think, he has like 800 plus reviews on the app. How many people do you think that pay for the app, which is $2, by the way, probably leave a review? Maybe 10%?
I don't know. It has to be high because he's, you know, top 10 in the paid charts. So, it seems like it's a trend that a number of photographers are doing as well. Cole Rise, who, you know, helped make some of the original Instagram filters, he made his own app, Lightly. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's a few others that have done it. Is that right, Corey?
Yeah, Lightly, Lightly is a big one. ViscoCam.
Yeah.
That was another Instagram photographer who created that, ViscoCam?
Yeah, they started doing actually Lightroom presets and then expanded to kind of do that film kind of look, like Kodak and all that kind of stuff into Instagram photos. So, yeah.
Oh, interesting. When are we going to get Withheart's app?
Yeah.
It applies the Withheart's aesthetic to the photos, and then you just freaking upload it, and boom, you're at 300,000 followers in no time. That's the app that I want. When can I buy that, Corey?
Next month. I'm just kidding.
So what apps are you using? First of all, I should say, we probably didn't mention this at the beginning of the show, but we should have. So you're up to 300,000 plus Instagram followers?
I am.
So you're like just a hair above my level.
Yeah. Just
congratulations.
Not really.
But you post, are you still posting every day?
Yeah, I try to post every day if I'm not traveling or doing different things.
And you're traveling a lot these days, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been going on a couple different trips throughout the summer and
So. Are you traveling mainly to find places to photograph or are you just traveling and then you photograph while you're there?
Yeah, so I'll travel for like a job, photo job, and fly down. For instance, I was just in San Diego, so we flew down to San Diego, shot there a little bit, and then went up to San Francisco for a week. So, yeah, just kind of travel, explore, and hang out with friends and meet up with new people. So it's been really fun.
Let me ask you this. I'm always intrigued how people end up, you know, making like a living doing these kinds of things, like YouTubers, Instagrammers. Like, are you getting hired by companies to do pictures, like Instagram pictures for them? I mean, is that like a form of revenue for you?
Oh yeah, totally. I was a designer for like 8 years, and
are you not doing that anymore?
So 6 months ago I stopped doing that, and then I'm doing full time photography now. I work for a I'm part on a roster called Tinker Street. Mm-hmm. It's a photo agency in New York, and they basically have a mobile division. So any brands like Gap or Nike or all these big brands want to do campaigns on Instagram and hire creative for it. So we'll shoot creative and go on location, do that too, and then post along on our Instagram too to, you know, get them followers and give them good content to post on their own Instagram feed. So yeah,
and this is all mobile stuff, all mobile photography.
Yeah, it's basically mobile, focused on mobile for them, but we also do DSLR selects for them too, for like their website and stuff like that. So yeah,
that's incredible. I mean, I just can't believe that people make money doing this. It sounds like an amazing job. You get to travel and take iPhone pictures for a living.
Yep.
And you were just telling me like the other day, like you're heading over to, you're heading north. You live in my state, by the way. We both live in Washington State. Is that going to be a paid job that you're doing? Is that just for?
No, that's just like a random fun trip, just with friends. Yeah,
just to kind of like take some pictures, have a good time.
Yeah.
So, what apps are you using these days to get all these great pictures? Because like your pictures, like I mentioned, they have a very certain aesthetic to them now. Like you've definitely kind of honed your own personal style. When I see a picture oftentimes on Instagram before seeing the username, I can tell if it's yours. which is great. I think it's awesome. I mean, it's good to have that sense of defined styles. What are you doing these days to kind of like tune your pictures in?
Yeah, so I've been using a lot of ViscoCam. And then I'll use Lightly a little bit, and then shoot sometimes with Cortex Cam, which is it takes like 5 photos in one, like so low light photos, and it'll blend it all together, so it's like high resolution, and so there's no grain on the photos.
So it's like a HDR type application.
Kinda. It's like in a low light situation when you know on your usual camera app, it'll turn out grainy in the blacks and won't be as good quality. So it'll take like 10 photos and then mesh them all into one photo. So there's no grain or anything like that. So Cortex, that's Cortex Cam. So yeah, I usually shoot in that and then edit and retouch a little bit with Filter Storm.
Filter Storm. I'm getting my pen out, by the way. Yeah, you've always got great apps that you use, and people always ask me after, or at least they did last time. They're like, "Hey, do you have a list of those somewhere?" So we're gonna have to post these somewhere.
Yeah, we'll link those up, and then also I have a Skillshare class where I like go in videos and talk through all my editing process and photos like that. So I have Skillshare class too. So
How would people find that if they wanted to take one?
It's skillshare.com, and let me find the URL for it. But it's basically I did a breakdown on mobile photography and taught a class on, you know, how I got kind of into capturing mobile photography and stuff like that.
How did you get started? Because I think we touched about on this, but it was so long ago. How did you end up getting into this whole
business? I was a nerd day one. Yeah. Saw that it came on and I downloaded it.
You mean Instagram?
Instagram, because I was using TwitPic or something to post photos on Twitter. Exactly. So it's like, oh, I could take a photo in here and then send it to Twitter, and this is awesome. And so just over the years, kind of was posting a lot there. Then the community started happening, and then, you know, connecting with other photographers and pushing the limits of what we could do with our iPhone. And it's just been growing from there. I got on the suggested user list. So when people came on, they saw me and wanted to follow me. And that's kind of how it grew from just a designer posting photos of landscapes and random stuff that I was doing to
being the prince of Instagram.
Yeah, not the prince, but
you need to change your Instagram bio.
Alex just texted me and he wanted to know how he can get more followers.
This is hilarious. Alex, if you had joined the show, you could have asked the question yourself.
I would have told him the secrets.
Would have revealed all the secrets to you, Alex.
But he is not here.
Instead, you're going to be stuck at 10 followers forever. Corey, what individual settings are you really playing around with these days? It looks to me that you're boosting a lot of your shadows because your photos don't seem to have a lot of contrast, and they kind of have like this glow to them. And all of them have that same kind of glow. How exactly are you creating that look?
Yeah, so I'll bump the exposure a little bit and then like save the highlights. So the highlights aren't as white. So it's kind of got that airy feel in the photo.
The highlights or you boost the highlights is what give them that airy feel?
So I'll take out the shadows and boost that so it's not as contrasty and there's more depth. And then I'll kind of flatten out the highlights almost. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of not super highlighted, but it's kind of muted, kind of like looks like fog or whatever feel to it. Then I'll bump up saturation a little bit or bump it down depending on the photo. But yeah.
Go ahead, Buster. Sorry.
Sorry. Have you used iOS 8 and any of the new editing stuff in there yet?
I haven't. No, I'm not a developer yet. I wish. I guess like now they give the full SDK to these app makers where they can control everything from it. So hopefully that gets better.
Yeah, you're gonna get really granular controls. Like you'll be able to control aperture.
Yeah,
and shutter speed and stuff. I mean, you must be pretty excited for that because that's going to allow you to do all sorts of stuff before that you probably couldn't do easily.
Heck yeah, it's been there's like crazy different tricks to, you know, locking exposure on camera app and stuff like that. But
your primary application, though, you said is Visco Cam. Still,
yeah, that's what I'll edit in. So mostly. Great, yeah.
And any good filter packs to recommend in Visco that you use fairly often?
I use the M's, M5, P5, let me look. P5, M5, S's, S-packs, M-packs. Yeah, mostly those. Dang. Yeah, so there's a couple good packs. Levi's, they just did a collaboration with Levi's.
I saw that, yeah.
Just released a couple more filter packs, which are really sweet. So, yeah.
And so you've been using those as well?
Yeah.
Man, yeah, I gotta start practicing more.
Just gotta go out and shoot, man.
Well, that's the biggest thing about you too. I mean, you're so, I mean, for want of a better word, like you're so, well, diligent about going out and I remember last conversation, one of the things that I think stood out to me the most is you said you shoot like 350 pictures and then you end up choosing one of the best ones. So you're just, I mean, you shoot a lot. Is that still the case?
I'll shoot different locations and then I'll weed out to like the top five that I really like, and then
out of how many? Like 100?
Out of, yeah, probably like 100.
Dude, that is so tough to do. Deleting pictures is the hardest thing.
Yeah, so if it's not in focus, or you know, because it's hard to get that one shot. You know, burst mode helps, but you know, sometimes you like the exposure or something looks better with the person and the subject. So you find the one photo that you're like, man, this is a photo, and then you can delete all the rest and just focus on that. So yeah, my camera roll is like empty right now.
How many gigabytes does your iPhone have? You have to have a 64.
No, it's 16. 16 gigabytes.
16? That sounds tough. Yeah.
The constraints make me like have to go through my photos and camera roll and
delete the crap.
Delete the crap and be OCD about it to back it up and all that stuff. So I'm pumped on the new Photos app coming out for Mac and see how that backs it up and all that stuff. So
are you excited for the potential of a larger screened iPhone, like the 4.7 or the 5.5?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Which one are you going to go for if they release both?
Which other one has the best camera? I don't know which one. Probably the 5.5 if it even exists. I don't know if that exists, but...
yeah, neither do we, but we like to talk about it a lot.
I know. No part leaks, so we'll see what happens with that.
The rumor is that the 5.5 is going to have the nicer camera, albeit maybe not that much nicer, but it's going to have like the optical image stabilization instead of like the digital image stabilization. So it's going to have some improvements not available in the 4.5. If either of them even exist. Watch. This
Who
is going to be like, do you remember when the, was it the iPhone 4? Which model was it where we all thought we were getting a larger screened iPhone and then it came out and it was just like the regular size? Was it the 4? Was it the 4S, Buster?
Yeah,
it might have been the 4S. Yeah, we thought it was going to be like a redesign.
And remember how companies were like releasing cases for it? Yeah. I'm having deja vu. I just saw like a company doing that now. Like they're releasing cases for an iPhone that doesn't even exist yet.
That's crazy.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Three sizes. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll get like a 12-inch, and we'll all be surprised. And it'll come with the Apple cargo pants, as we talked about before, Buster. Yeah. That's going to have to be the case.
Or we all get man purses. Who knows?
Oh, I saw the most epic man purse in Portland when I was there the other week. This guy, it's going to be me in like 20 years. He had curly hair. And he was probably like 40 pounds overweight, which is probably like where I'll be in the next, you know, 20 years. But he had a sweet man purse. It was like 100% leather. It looked like it would fit like a large iPhone or like an iPad or something. And he had like a nice blazer on. He was wearing loafers with no socks. I'm telling you, that's going to be me in about 20 years. Nice. Yeah. I know you're big on the loafers with no socks, Buster.
Oh,
Hey, any other questions for Corey while we have him, Buster? Can you think of anything else before we move on? Gosh, there's so many things that we could ask you. I feel like we have to have you on again and get some like listener questions, Corey.
Heck yeah.
Because people are always so interested in how you're creating these images, especially since you're the prince of Instagram. Like, who better to ask than you?
Yeah, I'll tweet out the Skillshare class because I go in more in depth there about everything. And then I just released a print shop, which on Squarespace. Mm-hmm. I did. I used their e-commerce site and been selling prints on that. So that's been really cool. So
nice.
Yeah, those are two big things that I've done recently.
So you set up a Squarespace store.
I did.
Man, you're not only the prince of Instagram, you're the king of segues. Because Buster and I are going to be setting up a Squarespace store.
A provocative one.
It's going to be provocative. So Buster, I had this great idea. You and I are sitting on a cash cow.
Okay.
Like, you're the talent, but I'm like the marketing guy, right? So you know how you're always putting like really cool vintage like styles into your beard? Like sometimes you'll mousse it. Sometimes there's like bows.
Flowers sometimes.
Flowers, too. That type of thing, right? So I was thinking we need to get a website up on Squarespace that are like vintage beard accoutrements for the modern man. We can work on the title. That's a working title.
Vintage beard accoutrements? Yeah.
Or vintage decorations for the modern beard. How about okay. that?
Something. Dude. Yeah, we'll have to slip it a little bit.
That's my cash cow moving. We're going to make so much money. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get decorations and put them into Ziploc bags, and then we'll brand them Buster's Beard Kit. And okay. Maybe we could sell them as individual packs. It'll be like a filter pack or something. Or we could do a subscription plan. So like every month, somebody...
A package shows up.
I think that's the moneymaker right there.
That might be the moneymaker.
Sponsored by Rogaine, some men that they can't grow beards. They can just like put it on their face.
And with the proliferation of modern man beards and creepy hipster neck beards, this could be a multi-$1,000 business yearly.
Oh, come
on. Think about that. Man. Think about thousands of dollars in your wallet yearly. Just think about it. That's like a dream. But we'll get like, we'll go out, we'll get like, you know, like we'll do the woodsman pack. So we're going to get like twigs and rocks and stuff that you would find in your beard when you're camping or like hiking and stuff. And then we just send it to them in a Ziploc bag so they can decorate their beard and look like you.
Just like me.
Is that not the best idea I've had?
I think it's
in the year 2014.
Top 10 at least.
Yeah. And I get a lot of good ideas, so that's saying a lot. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go set up a Squarespace website because, you know, it's really easy. Corey did it, and you don't even need to design it if you don't want. They have all these great designs that you can just select from. And once you find the design you like, you just hit publish. Thing's going to be up and running. You can add your Twitter to it very easily. You can add image gallery super easily. We'll have an about page where we talk about the beard stylings of Buster Hine and how Hollywood is paying attention to what you're doing and all the fashions that you have going on. And then we'll bolt on the e-commerce store, which Squarespace includes. And so we'll just add all our products, we'll add all the pictures, set all our pricing. We can create some coupon codes. Maybe you could enter Buster Sweet Nips Heine and save 15% off your order. I don't know. We can figure that part out later. The point is that we're going to make $1 million and we're going to use Squarespace as our platform because they make it so easy to build a website, to showcase your art, to build a store. And the best part is if you sign up, you get a free trial to try it for 2 weeks. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to give them your credit card number. Just head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast. Sign up for your trial. And if you like it, you can save 10% off your order. Just enter code cultcast at checkout. I want to thank Squarespace for making our dream a reality. Because when Buster and I make $1 million, we're going to move in together somewhere tropical.
Hopefully somewhere like a big house, like a large place.
I was thinking someplace small, though, like a studio.
One bedroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, that's...
One bed.
Just one bed, yeah. A platonic place where we could just hang out, read together, give each other shoulder rubs. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Thank you, Squarespace. But seriously, Buster, I think we should do that.
Oh, I think it's a solid idea.
It's a great idea.
You see so many hipsters with their beards.
I know. They're everywhere now, and who better to help them define their personal beard style than you?
I found my calling.
That's your life calling. That or dressing up in robes and you know, living on the beach somewhere. We're in the mountains, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Should we do some more Apple stories before we wrap up here, guys? Because we got some more to go through here. Let's just kind of cruise through. Corey, how you doing on time? You all right to stick around for another 10, 15?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about MacBook Pros. We got a refresh this week, Buster. Care to tell us about it?
I didn't even pay attention to it, to be honest with you.
You didn't?
No.
I was actually a little bummed that my MacBook Pro is no longer the newest and greatest.
Oh, you have one of those Retina MacBook Pros?
I do, yeah. I do.
So they got some processor speed bumps, so they're faster.
They did. They got very minor speed bumps. But if you've been waiting to get a new Mac, this is a great time to do it. In fact, I just got an email. Oh, yeah, here it is. This is a great time to bring this up. Hey, Shane Brett, listener Shane Brett. What's up, Shane? The man with two names. I wonder if Brett's his last name. That's interesting. He says, hey, longtime Cult Castle Center here. I was just wondering if you could give me some advice. I have a 2010 MacBook Air, and I want to buy a new 13-inch MacBook Pro, but I'm wondering if you think it would be advisable to wait for Apple to announce new ones. Yes, I do. I do, Shane. And lucky for you, they just did. Now is the perfect time to buy. Because not only did they upgrade the 13-inch MacBook Pros, so now they come with a standard 8 gigs of RAM instead of 4. They also lowered the price on the higher-end 15-inch model.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, they were pretty expensive. I mean, how much were they? $2,800? $2,600? I think for the high-end one. So they're $100 cheaper now. And if you want to be a real G, you can get one of the refurbished ones. And I've been using a service called ReFurbMe, I think, Refurb.me. I think we talked about this on a previous show. Do you remember, Buster, what the URL was? And it lets you define what computer you want. And when Apple lists a refurbished MacBook Pro that matches, you know, your requirements, it will send you a text message. So I'm kind of tinkering around with the idea of getting a 13 instead of the 15. And I noticed that those have dropped in price too, because now there's a new 13 and there's a new 15. So if you've been waiting to get a new MacBook Pro, now is the best time, because not only have they dropped in price, but they've gotten spec bumps too. You know, really minor spec bumps, but you know, they're updated nonetheless. Buster, do you know if we're going to be getting any major MacBook Pro upgrades in the next 6 to 8 months? Because I was kind of expecting them to release like radically different models.
Oh, you're looking for a hardware upgrade?
Yeah, like a major hardware upgrade.
I don't think you'll see that on the Retina MacBook Pros this year. Maybe next year. The only rumor was like the 12-inch Retina MacBook Air. That's what I'm waiting for. But
do you think that's ever going to materialize?
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I wouldn't mind if it did. So I'll just keep waiting for it.
It's like the external displays, the Retina external displays that everyone's been waiting for
like 3 years.
Yeah, when was the last time Apple updated the displays? Has it been 3 years?
I think it was Thunderbolt. Yeah. They added Thunderbolt. A while.
Wow. I finally just ended up buying a Dell monitor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were such a good price, and I got tired of waiting. And plus, the Apple monitors don't have a vase mount on the back, so you can't use them with like a monitor arm or anything. I don't know exactly how you would mount it to your desk so that you could lift it up and down. Corey, do you have one?
External display?
Yeah, do you have?
No, I sold mine. I've been waiting for the bigger one, the Retina one, but who knows if they'll ever come.
Yeah, that's pretty... I mean, they don't have Retina iMacs, so I kind of feel like we're going to see a Retina iMac before we see a Retina display.
Well, supposedly last week there was a rumor from 9to5 Mac that Retina iMac is in the pipeline, tentatively. So it could
is
come
it in
out.
The pipeline next to Apple television?
Yeah.
Was this rumor from Gene Munster?
Yes.
Peter Misek? You might be waiting for a while. Corey, when you had a monitor before, did you use it on one of those monitor arms, or did you just have it sitting on your desk?
I just had it on my desk.
And so you didn't need to like raise it up and down to like do your graphic stuff?
No. Oh. I always sat down. I'm not a standing desk person.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, man, I'm a convert. Oh, I can't talk about it, though. I can't talk about it.
Sit on a ball?
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I am using a standing desk now, and I'm reviewing one, and I can't talk about it now because I need to use it to destroy Buster and...
Faves and Raves.
And Alex in an upcoming Faves and Raves segment.
All right.
Dude, I've got some heavy hitters lined up, Buster. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I got. It's gonna be tough. Let's talk about. Oh, this was some cool news. This is the future, right here, guys. This is the future. So Hilton, the hotel chain, has announced that they're going to be allowing people to use their iPhones as room keys. Yeah. Buster, you wrote this. Care to elaborate?
Yeah, so awesome in the future, like, you won't even have to like go to the front desk to check into your hotel. You can just avoid people altogether at the hotel, man. They're making it so you can check in with your hotel or with your iPhone. You can even like choose your exact room and of course unlock it with the door and all of that and check out so that everything's done on your iPhone.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I hate the hotel experience, you know, calling in to check out and, you know, getting your room set up, everything. It is kind of, you know, a pain.
And it's time consuming too, especially if you're there for an event like for CES and you're waiting in a long line to check into your room. I mean, how awesome would it be to check in the shuttle on the way there? And not only that, but you get to pick your room.
Right.
Which is a super big bonus. And then you can check out. So, like, you could literally just be a total hermit the entire time, which I know is your style, Buster. Like, you're exactly. Just like, I don't want to see a person while I'm here. And I definitely don't want to talk to a person.
No way.
This is the future. It's really cool to see businesses using the iPhone or iOS devices in this way, because I think that this is the kind of thing that we're going to start seeing more and more of in the future as businesses figure out how to implement these devices into their businesses. And a lot of them are switching to iPhone. There was just an announcement that some major business was switching away from BlackBerries.
Oh, it was Ford. Yeah.
Was it Ford? Dude.
Yeah, they're going to replace
something that's embarrassing in a press release. So you're admitting that you've been using BlackBerries for the last 5 years.
It's like, oh, we still have 6,000 BlackBerries.
Okay, let's wrap up with something that's not Apple related, but I thought this was pretty cool. Apparently EA is going to be allowing people to subscribe to a video game service via the Xbox One. Now, you guys know I have an Xbox One. I've talked about it before. I really like it a lot. Although I probably will be buying a PS4 sometime soon because they just re-released. Dang, what's the name of that game? Like one of the biggest games of 2013 available.
PS1?
No, it was available on PS3.
Last of Us?
The Last of Us. Yes, they just
I've heard about
that
it. Is it a good game? 4.
I have never played it. Corey, are you a video game guy?
I am, yeah.
Have you played that game?
I haven't, no.
Are you an Xbox guy? I knew that, dude.
Yeah, we play Xbox a little bit. Xbox One.
Yeah, we have. We've been playing Call of Duty Ghosts together, although it's been a while. And I miss you terribly.
I know, I haven't been using it.
You haven't been using it that much? I actually haven't been playing Ghosts that often either. I've been playing Zoo Tycoon. Building
Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah. I've been playing Zoo Tycoon. It's actually really fun. In any case, this is cool for video gamers, as I am one. EA announced that they're going to be partnering with Microsoft to introduce a $4.99 a month service called EA Access. It's available on Xbox One only, not on PS4 yet, at least that we know of. And they're going to give you access to a bunch of their video games that you can play for free, unlimited play for $4.99 a month. Right now, they're including FIFA 14, Madden NFL 15, Peggle 2, and Battlefield 4. That's their initial lineup. I'm sure they'll be adding stuff in the future. But this is really exciting for video game fans because it's like, you know, like an unlimited books plan. It's like an unlimited music plan, like a Netflix plan. Wouldn't you guys rather just pay a flat fee and have unlimited access to a library as opposed to buying stuff individually? Is that just me or do you guys like that too?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, totally. Like Steam. I feel like Steam should do that with all their PC games.
Oh, do they not have an unlimited play plan?
I don't think so. I think you have to buy individual games still, like Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat and all those random ones, Dota.
This is such a great idea, and it's such a good business model, I think, for games that are older. They're obviously not going to include their new games in this because they want you to buy the new game. But, you know, like Netflix, like Oyster, they give you access to books that maybe aren't, or movies that aren't brand new, but are very good. And they may be like a couple years old or 3 years old, but it's stuff that is still, you know, great to get through, but it's just not brand new. So if Activision did this with like their Call of Duty games, imagine if they give you access to like 5 different Call of Duty games for $5 a month. Corey, would you be on that?
Yeah, probably. If you're playing with me.
Oh,
boom. Sniping people.
Yeah, I got your back in that game, dude. I'll get a submachine gun. You can snipe. I'll get some C4 on the wall. We're going to own that game. Buster, boom. We got to get you into that action.
Boom, headshot.
Yeah, you got an Xbox.
You know, oh, wait, I thought you had one.
Oh, I gave it up. Gave that thing away.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Maybe we should get a we should get you an Xbox One, then we can start like a cult cast Xbox clan.
I've debated it, but I think I'm gonna get a PS4, man. Sorry.
Oh, you gotta play with us. Diablo 3 is coming out, you know, for Xbox One. Yeah.
Oh, I'm really excited about that game.
Jeez. Boom.
Yeah, I've awesome. Always wanted to play. I've never played it, but I've heard good things. I'm gonna get a PS4 too, though, Buster. I think I am, so I can
How
play
you?
Last of Us. You're yeah,
both of them, huh?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm an equal opportunity consoler.
You're like, agnostic on
I
it.
I am. I love the Xbox One, but I've heard nothing but good things about PlayStation 4, and I don't really think one's better than the other. They just have different games. It depends on what you're into. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Let's turn it into the Xbox One show. Hey, Corey, it was great having you on.
Yeah.
I hope that you'll come back again in like the next couple months and not the next 12 months. That's my fault, though. You there?
Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry. Internet dropped for a second. That was weird.
Yeah, I was like...
started turning into robots. I was like, what is going on?
I was like, Corey's just ignoring me. He doesn't want to hear me tell him to come back. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to shut off my computer.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to Alex.
I don't blame you. Neither do we. Hey, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at... With Hearts on Instagram and Twitter, withhearts.co.com, not.com. And then I have Prince, withheartsprince.com. Find me everywhere. Besides YouTube, I need to get on YouTube.
You do need to get on YouTube. So do we, man. We need to get on YouTube bad, too. Maybe we could do a co-YouTube channel or something.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys... Buster, when are we going to see them?
Next time. Next time.
You guys next week, in fact. Yeah.
Thursday night.
Friday, depending on what country you're in. It might be Friday morning, but yeah, it'll be next week. Buster.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're putting on chains or something. What are you doing?
Shiz. I'm just getting my gear packed up, and I'm probably going to head to a coffee shop to get some writing done.
While you're out, if you see anything that might look good in someone's beard, will you just kind of grab it, put it in a bag, and save it?
I'm just going to stuff everything in a shoebox I have.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, like, we just cram this stuff into a Ziploc bag. Like a comb and whatever you find on the street, anything that you think would look good in a beard.
Oh, it's going to be some nasty stuff.
some leftover lasagna. And then, that will be like that month's beard kit. And okay. every month we can just do a new one.
I think we should do a Kickstarter for this. And we'd probably
BustersBeardKits.com.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think we should do it. I think it's going to make a lot of money.
It probably would make, like, you know, $2,000.
Yeah, I think it might. And then everyone gets a free beard kit.
Yeah.
Of just random, like, whatever we think would look good in a beard. It could be twigs. It could be Christmas ornaments.
Stuff it in your beard.
In your beard and, you know, and get ready to beat those ladies off with a stick.
Did you see there was, like, this... internet meme going around where it was like a bunch of like hipster dudes putting like little flowers and like grass and shit like that, like all beautifully in their beards and shit.
I did not see that.
Oh my gosh, dude, I'll have to send you a pic.
Do you ever wear any like flowers or anything in your beard, or do you just like the tough guy stuff?
No, I just, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of moss in it, but that's okay.
Do you ever put like mousse in it and just like sculpt it into like a point?
Oh, no, because I don't have any mousse.
Oh, what about some like LA looks gel? Because I'm thinking like, I think about you when you're dressed up and like, you know, when people like slick their hair back, well, maybe you do that, but like with your beard hair.
That's all I have, so I have to. Yeah.
And then you just slick it straight down so it looks very French and pointy.
Uh-huh.
Do you curl your mustache too?
When it's long enough, it takes a few months to get it long enough to be able to curl it. But yeah, you got to be delicate with it though.
It's like a bonsai, right? Yeah. You have to be very Mr. Miyagi with it and trim it gingerly.
Uh-huh. I mean, one false move and ruins the whole fun.
One false move and one half of your beard is shorter than the other. That is not a good look.